In that video and reflecting on fathers, being Father's Day. Usually on a Father's Day, you have a typical Father's Day message, but that's not what you're going to receive today. It's coming from the Father, but it's not about fathers today. And one of the things that struck my heart this morning was, the Bible says that God is a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widower. So, Bev and your Maxwell, you can, and the family, you can take comfort from that God is your father. And he's the husband to the widower. Isn't that good? Amen. That we're not alone, that God is always there. He's always with us. Hallelujah. The other thing is, I just wanted to, the witness of the Holy Spirit, that what I'm about to speak on this morning was so confirmed by about four or five different individuals this morning. It was confirmed in prayer this morning. It was confirmed through the worship. Some of the songs that we were singing, it was confirmed through the announcements. It was confirmed even what Pastor was saying. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is the kingdom. But the topic that I have, if you want to have a topic, is advancing the kingdom. God is asking us to advance his kingdom. We're not just to be here on this earth just to live a mundane life. God has given us a mandate to advance his kingdom. Amen? So I'm going to read a scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and then I'm going to pray. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And God, your word will accomplish that for which it is sent forth to do today. And Father, I just ask that you open the eyes of our understanding, that we would have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to each and every one of us today. That God, that we would be kingdom advancers, that we would not just sit idly by and watch the enemy take over territory, but God, we're here to advance your kingdom. And Lord, I declare today that we are forceful men and we are forceful women who are about to advance your kingdom to a far greater level than has ever been advanced before, in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. All the time. The word advance, if you look it up in the dictionary, and it's a verb, and it means to move forward, typically in a purposeful way. It means to proceed, to press on, to push on, and to push forward. In other words, it means to cause to move forward. God wants his kingdom to move forward. We've heard the word kingdom mentioned so many times today. The kingdom of God is to advance, is to move forward. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are synonymous. And I'm just going to read. A lot of people think that there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, but they're not. They're one and the same, and they're mentioned numerous times in the Bible. The kingdom of God is God's rule. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's God's rule here on earth. And when Jesus came and paid the price for our sins, he established God's kingdom. Because prior to that, Satan was ruling the kingdom. He was ruling this earth. But God reestablished that authority back through Jesus Christ to each and every one of us as believers. And so we are to advance God's rule here on earth. And there's many ways that we do that. the kingdom of God, it has two aspects. There's a spiritual kingdom, which is made up of those who have experienced a new birth by the Holy Spirit. And there is a literal physical kingdom that will come to earth. God's rule is seen through his theocratic kingdom over the nation Israel. This theocratic kingdom will one day rule over all the earth, known as the Messianic kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. When Jesus comes back to earth, when we come back to the earth with Jesus and reign for 1,000 years, that's when his true kingdom will really reign here on this earth. John the Baptist proclaimed the kingdom of God to be at hand before Jesus was revealed in Matthew 3, 1-2. Jesus offered the same kingdom to the Jewish people throughout his ministry, which they rejected in Matthew. Jesus came and he offered it to his own people, the Jewish people, but they rejected it. Jesus taught us to pray for the kingdom in Matthew 6, 10. We all know this prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." What are we doing when we're praying that? We're praying that the same thing that is happening in heaven God's rule in heaven will happen here on earth. That's what, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so when we're praying, folks, what we're praying is, God, there's good things in heaven. And we want those good things to be established here on this earth. And so that's how we're praying. Because God has given us authority through his word and through his name to establish that here on this earth. We're not just here to sit idly by and let the devil take over territory. We're to advance the kingdom of God, push back the enemy out of our rule, our reign. We have a certain measure of rule. You have a measure of rule as a parent over your children. We have a measure of rule in this church. We have a measure of rule in our community. As the community of God's kingdom broadens and gets larger, the greater God's kingdom will advance. Amen? You know, it's an incredible thing to be a part of God's kingdom. You know, it's not something to be taken lightly. And I think sometimes we don't really understand the rule and the authority that God has given us. That we have a great mandate by our Heavenly Father to advance his kingdom here on this, in this area that we live in. You know, Jesus, there are parallel accounts in Mark 4 and Luke 8. John uses the term only twice to describe how one is to enter it. And I'm talking about the kingdom of God. In John 3:3 and verse 5, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter, or cannot see the kingdom of God." In verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You see, you can't advance the kingdom of God if you're not in it. Isn't that true? You know, there was a time in my life where I was advancing the kingdom of Satan. And I'm sure there was a few of you that were doing the same thing. You know, but once I came to the realization of who I was in Christ and what God has done for me, and I accepted Jesus into my heart, I entered the kingdom of God. I became part of the kingdom of God, just like most of the rest of you here today. And now God is saying, okay, now you're part of my kingdom. Now I want you to establish my rule. A parent has rule in his household. If you and I as parents do not rule well in our household, our children will become rebellious. They'll just do whatever they want. And we see a lot of that in this day and age today where parents are so busy that they don't have time to spend with their kids. And children are ruling their parents. You know, there are times in my life where I've been in a church and I know God has called people to be into certain churches, and people left the church because their children didn't like the children's program or they didn't like the Sunday school. Folks, that's wrong. Parents are to lead their children and not the children to lead their parents. You know, if we don't rule, and I'm not saying rule as, you know, as an iron fist. Rule means to lead, to guide, to train, to teach. If we don't lead, rule, and guide and teach our children, they're going to teach us. And that's not right. You know, both Mark and Luke use the term the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. Matthew used the term the kingdom of heaven when writing his gospel to the Jews. He uses the term the kingdom of God 6 times. These are not two different kingdoms. The terms kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably in the gospel accounts. The kingdom of God is used over 60 times throughout the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? That it's not just something that we take lightly, that God mentions it 60 times in the New Testament. You know, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably in the Gospels. It is only Matthew that substitutes the kingdom of heaven for the kingdom of God. And he does use the kingdom of God mostly as admonishment or a warning. He uses the phrase kingdom of heaven over 30 times. An example, in Matthew 21:42-43, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." What a sad day for the nation of Israel. The kingdom of God. God had established his rule through the nation of Israel, and they had rejected it. They had rejected the very one that had come to bring them the peace, the hope that they needed, the one that they were looking for, the Messiah, and they rejected it. You know, there are people in this world who reject the kingdom of God. for whatever reason, whether it's pride, I'm not sure. You know, I've witnessed to many people in my life, and it comes to the point where the question is asked, are you willing to accept Jesus into your heart, to ask for forgiveness? People recognize their sin. They recognize that they're sinners, but they're not willing to enter into the kingdom of God. And it's a sad, sad day. I think, man, you've just missed the greatest opportunity of your life. You know, there's other comparisons, parallel statements, and I'm just going to read a few of them to you. In Matthew 10:7, it says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 3:1-2, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark 1:14-15, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Matthew 13:24, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. In Matthew 4:26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. In Matthew 19:23, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it was impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He just said it was a hard thing. You know, there was a certain ruler in Luke 18:18-23, and he asked Jesus, he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, why do you call me good? You know, I find this really astounding that Jesus would answer that way. Why do you call me good? Because he goes on to say, Jesus answered, there is no one as good except God alone. But don't you remember when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? So wasn't Jesus good? So why did he ask that rich young ruler, why do you call me good? Did he see something good in God, in Jesus? You know, we probably read that scripture and we really never ask ourselves, well, why did Jesus answer that way? Obviously, that rich young ruler seen something about Jesus. And he said, this is good. And he wanted it. And then it goes on to say, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. You know, those five commandments that I just read to you all have to deal with man. The first five of the Ten Commandments that Jesus gave us, or that are spoken of, all have to do with dealing with God, our relationship with God. The Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the first commandment. But Jesus didn't talk about those when he was answering this rich young ruler. All he talked about was the relationship that he would have with man. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. This is a rich young ruler's response. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? You know, in Matthew 6:24, you don't have that, but it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is often referred to as material possessions or money. This man wanted to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He truly did. But there was something that was holding him back. You know, oftentimes in our life, there are certain things in our life that hold us back from advancing further in the kingdom of God. It's not that you haven't entered. It's just there are certain areas that we find hard to deal with. And God comes to us and he challenges us in a loving way. Come on, I've got something better for you. This is not the best yet. There's more yet to come. Just like he challenged that rich young ruler. You know, that rich young ruler truly would have understood what Jesus said. He says, if you would sell everything, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You know, Jesus also said that in the scriptures, that if you leave father, mother, brother, sister, whatever else, for my sake, you will have much more, not only in this time, but in the kingdom to come. And people don't realize that when Jesus asks us to give up something, that he has something better for us. Because, you know, he tests our heart. He tests our heart to see whether we're willing to give up something that may have a treasure in our heart. Because God always goes after our heart. Amen? He wants to know what's going on in our heart. Jesus replied, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. What a sad day for that rich young ruler. Jesus says you're going to inherit a heck of a lot more than what you have right now. It's not that God wanted to take all his money. God wanted to get his heart. In Mark 10:23, then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. In Mark 10:14, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. In Matthew 13:31, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And in Mark 4:30, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? I've read these scriptures to you to give you an understanding that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are intertwined and they're synonymous. But also to share with you how important it is that we have an understanding of what the kingdom of God really is. You know, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are God's way of doing things. From these scriptures, we can glean some important truths in how the kingdom is to advance. We advance the kingdom by not only by hearing the truth of God's word, but also by being doers of it. You know, it's not enough that we just hear the word of God, but we need to put it into practice. And we do that by stepping out in faith and obeying God's word. Amen? You know, I'm just going to share with you a few points from what I've gleaned just from the few scriptures that I've read to you. We advance the kingdom of God by preaching his word. In Matthew 10:7, he says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 3:1-2, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark 1:14-15, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, in these three scriptures, you will notice a common thread. And that thread is one of action. As you go. That's not someone who's standing still. That talks about action. As you go, preach. You know, as you go, what does that mean to an individual person like you and me? As you go into your workplace. As you're at the grocery store, preach. You know, there's oftentimes people in line if you have an ear to hear, you may hear someone talking about what's going on in their life, or you may hear someone saying, you know, how sick they are. What an opportunity to pray for that individual. John came preaching. Jesus came to Galilee preaching. You know, these two words, came, come, and go. Basically, that's what it says. As you come and go about your daily life, preach the gospel. Preach it wherever you are. Preach it in your at the playground. Preach it in your workplace. Preach it at the grocery store. And you know, you don't preach at people, if you understand what I'm saying. You have a heart of compassion for them, towards them. You hear with the Spirit what God is speaking. So often we think it's the job of the pastor or the minister to do the preaching, and all we're here to do is sit and listen. That's not true, folks. We're not here just to sit and listen. It's not just the pastor's job to preach. Well, we'll bring the people to church and let the pastor preach to them. No, that's not really what it's all about. In Ephesians 4, chapter 4, and I'm going to read to you from the New King James Version, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean, but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gave gifts to man. He gave the pastors, the evangelists, the prophet, and the teachers. What for? To equip you and me. Why? To do the work of the ministry. You see, the pastor is up here to equip you and I to do the work of the ministry. It's not just the pastor's job to go and pray for people. It's not just the pastor's job to lead people to the Lord. That's our job. We're here to be equipped so that we can go out and do the ministry. We're to go out and cast out devils. It was a common thing in the book of Acts. If you've never read the book of Acts, just read it. They went about healing, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, doing good. The Bible says Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil and doing good. You know, and as his disciples, we have that same mandate. We are to go out, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. Amen? Some of you are excited and some of you are not so excited, you say. I could never do that. Oh, yes, you could. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You can't do it by your own strength. You can't do it by your own power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know, one time I was at a prayer meeting. I don't know why I'm going here, but I just feel that here. And so oftentimes at prayer meetings, people will come and they'll say, well, can you pray for me for this or can you pray for me for that? And this certain individual, a lady, she had a sore elbow and she wanted prayer for her elbow. And of course, you know, being faithful sheep, everybody gathered around her and they wanted to, you know, lay hands on her and pray for her for healing. But I stood back and I said, Lord, what's going on? And the Holy Spirit showed me that there was something going on in her heart in regards to an offense she had against somebody who had hurt her. And so after these other people had done praying, I just said to her, I said, God has just showed me that you have an offense in regards to this individual that has hurt you. And she began to burst out crying. See, it wasn't that God didn't want to heal her elbow. God wanted to heal her heart. So often we're so quick to want to pray for whatever the person is asking for. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, Lord, what's going on? Maybe it's not the right time to share with that individual what God is showing you in a group setting. Maybe you just need to go to them privately, but I just really felt to the Lord that I needed to share it with her right there and then. You see, God dealt with her heart. And whenever Jesus went out about teaching and preaching and talking to people, he always went after their heart. It wasn't so much about what was going on in their life, but what was going on in their hearts. You know, God has gifted certain individuals with gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's one of the main reasons we're gathered here today. We're gathered here so that we can be equipped, so that we can go out. We can hear the word of God, receive it by faith, take it, and go out and do the work of the ministry. Amen? If you read in Mark chapter 16, beginning in 14, he says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Do you know, folks, that commission is for you and for me today? It just wasn't for the disciples in the New Testament. That same mandate, that same commission is the commission that God has given each and every one of us today. Go, preach, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. Hallelujah. You know, Christianity is not boring if you take that step of faith and you start doing some of the things that God has commissioned us to do. One time at a prayer meeting, we had it on a regular prayer meeting like we do here on a Wednesday night. And this lady who didn't come to belong to our church just came, and she usually came out to our prayer meetings. But she brought another lady, individual, with her. And after we had our regular prayer meeting, I just really felt led to pray for this, my friend's friend. And so I walked over to her and I just began to pray for her. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, took control of me. And I'll tell you, I was quite surprised because I just began to command a demon to come out of this woman. I was shocked. But it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God inside of me that just rose up against this evil thing that was inside of her. And I just commanded this demon to come out of her. And as I commanded the demon to come out of her, she began to retch. And this demon exited her body. That demon was an addiction to alcohol and drugs. I'd never seen that woman in my life before. 3 months later, my friend phoned me and she says, Bill, I just want you to know to give you a praise report. That woman that you prayed for has been set free for 3 months now, has never had a drink or done any drugs, and God has just restored her children back to her. Hallelujah. What a testament. You know, if we will just be open to and be led by the Spirit, overcome our fears, because that's the greatest hindrance to you and I as believers, is stepping out in faith. Fear wants to say, well, you know, should I really do that? Don't listen to the devil. Here again we find the words go and preach. The word preach in the Greek has a few different names and meanings. I'm just going to give you a few of them here. One of the Greek words for is, I don't know if I could even pronounce it, katagelo. And this word is translated as follows. It means to declare. In Acts 17:23. In 1 Corinthians 2:1, it means to proclaim. In Acts 16:17, it means to show. In Romans 1:8, it means to speak. In Acts 4:2, it means to preach. And in Acts 16:21, it means to teach. The basic meaning is to make known the good message. That's what all these words are saying, is to make known the good message. Preaching means to declare the goodness of God. It means to proclaim God's goodness and God's rule. It means to show God's love. Wherever you go, showing God's love. It means to speak, speaking words of kindness, speaking words of life over people. Speaking encouragement to those who are downcast, It means to preach, to teach, you know, to teach our children, you know, about God, to teach others, disciple others. That's what it means to preach. So often we have this one tunnel vision mindset of what the word preach means, but it encompasses many different things. That's why I love the Greek and the Hebrew, because it gives us such a clear view of what God is actually saying. To make known the good news, the good message. Hallelujah. God's not mad at you. When you go about talking to people, telling them, you know, God's not mad at you people. He loves you. He's come. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. That's good news, folks. He's not mad at you. He's not standing over your head with a big stick really to smack you. He loves you. He wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you in health. He wants to see you restored. You know, we show people that we love them. Just don't say it. You know, words sometimes can be so meaningless. You know, I love you. I'll pray for you. I'll bless you. You know what? Show them that you love them. Take somebody out. You know, buy them a meal. Encourage them. Speak words of life over them. You know, give somebody a card. You know, write something in there and words of encouragement. You know, just don't talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. Amen? Declare to others the goodness of God and what he has done for you. You know, our testimony is one of the greatest weapons that we have against the enemy. What has God done for you? You know, when you go to tell people who are struggling maybe in some area, you know what? I was in that same place one time in my life, and this is what God did for me. Hallelujah. That's the greatest weapon that you and I have in our warfare against the enemy. Speak words of life over yourself and others. Bless and not curse. Don't be a gossiper, but rather someone who builds others up. Encourage one another daily. You know, in the book of Acts, it talks about a man. His name was Barnabas. And you know what Barnabas means? Son of encouragement. God wants us all to be sons and daughters of encouragement. That we go around not only encouraging one another here in the body of Christ, but encouraging others who don't know Christ. You know what? Your life can turn around. God has a plan and a purpose for you. You know what? God loves you and he cares about you. And I know that you're going through a hard time right now. But I really just want to stand with you. Can I pray for you? You know what? I've never ever had anybody turn me away if I asked them if I could pray for them. No one. People are open to prayer, folks. The second point I want to make is sow seeds. In Matthew 13:24, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." In Mark 4:26, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." You notice in Matthew 13:24, Jesus said, "A man sowed good seed." This tells me that if there's good seed, there's also bad seed. How many of you have bad seed in your garden? Weeds. Bad seeds. You know, there was a time in my life where I sowed a lot of bad seed. You know, the scripture says, "Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap." I had a lot of hardship in my life because of all the bad seed I sowed. And I reaped from it. But you know what? Once I got a hold and entered into the kingdom of God and began to change my life and began to sow good seed, I began to reap the goodness of God in my life. You know, there's hope for every one of us. You may think, well, I'm too old. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'll tell you what. You go out and you plant a seed in a garden, guess what? You're going to harvest. You're going to harvest whatever you've planted. And it doesn't take that long to grow for some seed. I'll tell you, weeds grow a heck of a lot faster than corn or carrots or anything else, don't they? It just seems like they spring up. I know out in the acreage there, we sowed some alfalfa and some grass. Well, the thistles have grown up way faster than any of the other stuff have. You know, bad seed just seems to flourish. It flourishes in this world. There's a lot of people who are sowing bad seed, but good seed will always bear a harvest if it's watered and taken care of. Amen? We advance God's kingdom by planting good crops, whether that seed is financial, whether it's in our prayer, in our time, our gifts, our talents. God wants to use them for His honor and His glory. You know, we've heard over the past few months about sowing seeds as partners to pay off the mortgage here, and we've seen that again this morning. Wow. Isn't that good, what God is doing here? How quickly that debt is being paid down? And I believe that there's a great harvest for this body. You know, not just financially, but there's a harvest that is going to come through that's going to surprise many of us. There's many testimonies that are going to come about what God has done just because we've entered in as partners into seeing this debt being paid down. Hallelujah. You know, when it was first mentioned, the first time I heard it about sowing into this, I bought into it right away. You know why? I recognize good soil. See, folks, there's good soil and there's bad soil. There's some of you that are farmers. Brad, you know all about good soil and bad soil. There's marshy areas. There's alkaline. There's all kinds of, there's rocky soil. There's all kinds of soil out there. But there's also good soil. And when we plant and sow into good soil, we reap good crops. Amen? When I recognize right away that this sowing, paying down this debt was good soil. And when I plant in good soil, I know I'm going to reap a good harvest. And just like many of you who planted in to paying down this debt on this church, you're going to reap a good harvest. Amen? You know, last Monday, after getting home from camp, and I just want to say, if you missed it, you missed not only a good time, but you missed a God time. And I'm just saying that just to provoke you in love and good works. I'm not saying that to anger you. It was a good time, and it was a God time. God really did manifest Himself out there. The time of worship was just incredible. I was so blessed just by the Spirit of God just coming and just resting on us while we were worshiping the Lord. It was just amazing. You know, when the anointing of God is there like it was at the time of camp, and I know it's going to increase here greater and greater too, there's also a greater revelation and understanding of God's Word when it's preached. Your spirit is open to receive the Word of God, and revelation comes and understanding comes. Amen? You know, it's just like as I was out rototilling the garden. I'll tell you, the garden was hard. The soil is hard because we've had no rain. And I was reflecting on that, and I was reflecting on the presence of God that I had, and I was talking to the Lord about camp and, you know, how the presence of God had so touched me and affected me, and He says, not all will have experienced that same anointing. I said, what? How can that be? Not all would have been touched by the Spirit of God. And He said, He likened it to me as is the soil. He said, some hearts are hard. And as I read earlier, Jesus rebuked the disciples for their hardness of heart because of their doubt and unbelief. You know, our hearts can become hard because of doubt and unbelief. Our hearts can become hard because of offense. We've been offended by somebody. Or we've taken on hurt. Or we have sin, undealt with sin in our life. We can harden our hearts towards God. But you know what? As the soil is tilled up. As I spent time with a rototiller and I began to work that soil, the soil became softer again. And you know what? That soil is ready for the rain. That soil is ready for the rain. Just like in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. As we work the soil of our hearts and condition and bring the condition of our hearts to a place of pliableness again and softness again, the rain of the Holy Spirit comes and produces a harvest inside of us, folks. Just like in the natural, when the rain comes on that tilled up soil, things are going to grow a heck of a lot faster. Amen? And it will produce. You know, in order to advance God's kingdom, we must have our hearts flooded with God's love, not only for ourselves, but for one another and for the world. You know, thinking about the garden, and my garden is not doing that great because I haven't spent a whole lot of time in it. I haven't spent a whole lot of time hoeing and getting it, softening up the soil around it, and pulling out a bunch of weeds. But Linda's garden is flourishing. Pastor Ray and Linda have been out there watering. They've been hoeing. They're spending a lot more time in their garden. Their garden is doing way better than my garden. I don't know if mine is going to survive, but praise the Lord. We're going to get rain. Amen? You know, for some people, it's time to get back in fellowship. Get back in fellowship. You know, sometimes when we're wounded, when we're hurt, we draw away. It's like a wounded animal. They like to go off and hide by themselves. But you know, we're never meant to be alone. We're meant to be in fellowship with one another. And you know what? Since coming here, I just wanted to encourage you and commend you that this church has been a real church of blessing to Kathy and myself. You've invited us. You've accepted us into your hearts. You've opened up your homes to us. And you know, you just showed godly hospitality. And I just want to say thank you. You know, this house is truly a house of relationship. And you know, we were born to be relational people, amen? You know, to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. When someone is missing or someone is hurt, we all hurt because we're part of the body. You know, for some other year you here this morning, I just want to encourage you to begin to share your faith with others. You know, maybe there was a time in your life where you shared your faith and you would testify to other people and you shared your testimony. You know, this past week I needed some tractor parts. So I went out to a place out in town here that sold used tractor parts. And you know, so often God gives us situations and it's not so much about what my need is or what your need is. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. So God brought me out to this place. And I met this older individual, and we had a great conversation. We talked about many different things, and one of the things we talked about, and he shared with me, is about he had a stack of bills like this, how many people have not paid him, who owed him money. And I shared with him some of my circumstances as well. And he says, well, how do you deal with it? I says, forgive. I says, I committed into God's hands. Well, you just can't do that. I says, yeah, I do. I just committed it into God's hands. There are people who owe me a debt, but Jesus has paid that debt. Amen? I owe a debt, but Jesus paid my debt. Amen? And so I shared with him, and then the conversation continued to go on, and I asked him a few more questions about faith. And it got to the point where I asked him if he knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. No, I asked him, I said, do you know why Jesus came? He says, no, why? And he began to tell me, well, he'd gone to church, he'd done so many things. And I'm thinking, you've gone to church and you don't know why Jesus came. You know, I didn't say that to him, but in my heart I'm thinking all these thoughts. But I was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news with him. And I says, are you willing to receive Jesus into your heart today? He sat there, he bowed his head, and he says, no, not really, not today. This is an older gentleman. I don't know how many more days he might have, but I pray the seed is sown, amen? I just need to water that with prayer and the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit bring about the harvest. See, God puts us in different positions, places, and it's not always about what your need is. It's about what you have to give to that individual that God brings you into contact with. You know, so often we join a church or an organization and we sit back and we reap, you know, but we don't sow. And I want to encourage some of you today, if you've never gotten, never sown into your local house, I want to encourage you to do that. You say, well, how could I do that? You know, there's many areas in which we can serve in the body of Christ. There's children's ministry. There's the worship team. There's ushering, greeting. You know, there's taking care of the grounds. You know, just serving in practical ways. Every one of us has a gift or a talent that we can serve. We serve in our prayer. You know, in intercession, praying for others. Praying for the kingdom of God to be established here on this earth and in our community. There's many ways to be involved, and I want to encourage you as the body of Christ to get involved. You know, we're not just called to be seed bags where we just sit here and just receive seed, seed, seed. You have to do something with the seed that you've been given, amen? It has to be planted. Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. You know, folks, we gained spiritual ground out of camp. I really sense that we did, that there was spiritual ground taken. Hallelujah. You know, we also received a prophetic word through in Isaiah. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Hallelujah. What a great word for this church. Enlarge the place of your tent. How do we do that? By advancing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, enlarging the congregation, inviting someone to come to church. When was the last time you invited someone to come to church? When was the last time you invited someone to come over to your house, just a complete stranger, and invited them for a meal? When was the last time you prayed for someone? See, God wants us to enlarge the place of our tents. He wants this place to be overflowing. That it's not going to hold everything that God wants to do. And I really believe that this is the year of God's favor, the year of God's blessing for this house. And if you believe that, then we need to take some steps of faith to advance that kingdom. Amen? Be bold. Be courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Amen? I read a quote the other day, and it went like this. All missional advancement always engages missional resistance. Every time we, as the body of Christ, believe God for something and we are about to advance His kingdom, the enemy puts resistance towards it. He resists what God wants to do. And there will be resistance, but greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Amen? You know, when Jesus heard of John the Baptist and his beheading, the Bible says that Jesus went to draw away, took some of his disciples with him, went to draw away by himself. But the people heard about it, and they ran to where he was. You know, Jesus wasn't going just to mourn. He was going just to be with his disciples and to encourage them probably more than in himself. But it says Jesus had compassion on them. See, when the enemy came to strike by beheading John the Baptist, Jesus said he had compassion on the people and he fed the 5,000 and healed all those who were sick. You see, when the enemy comes and he attacks the body of Christ, we need to be advancing the kingdom of God. Devil, you're not going to stop us. You may have struck us a blow, but that is not going to defeat us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. See, folks, the nature of the enemy's warfare in your life is to cause you to become discouraged and to cast away your confidence. That's a big thing. He wants to discourage you and to cast away your confidence. Not that you would necessarily lose your salvation, but you would give up hope of God's resurrection power and his ability to bring you into victory. What a lying, deceiving devil. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to lose your confidence. But I'm here to encourage you today that greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Amen? You know, as we were singing earlier, Jesus, our hope, living in us, you are the God in whom we trust. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, chains are broken, eyes are open. Folks, as we advance God's kingdom, eyes are open, chains are broken, because God is in us. Amen. Now, before I close here, maybe you've been beaten down, or been discouraged. You've lost your confidence. I just want to encourage you to come up this morning. We just want to pray for you. You know, encourage means to put courage in. Discourage means to take courage out. I want to encourage you this morning by laying hands on you and praying for you and imparting strength into you, to your spirit man. Maybe you've just need some confidence to step out in faith again, to preach the Word of God. We want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the kingdom of heaven is continually advancing. And I thank you, Lord, for faithful men and women who are advancing that kingdom. Not only are they advancing it, but Lord, they are advancing it forcefully. God, who has eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing. God, who will not just sit back and allow the devil to take over. But God, who see the opportunities and sees them by faith. Lord, there's opportunities for each and every one of us here in our daily lives. And I pray, God, for even greater opportunities in the days ahead, that we would advance your kingdom, that we would see your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth, here in Swan River as it is in heaven. We give you the praise, we give you the glory and the honor for all that you have done here today. Lord, I pray that you seal this word to our hearts, that it would not be stolen from us, but God, that we would just receive it by faith. And God, we would be those who advance the kingdom of God in a mighty way. That our tents would be enlarged. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.